Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
We're putting a cap on this baseball season as, we knew the Boston Red Sox were a good baseball team, but we didn't know exactly how good. And then, obviously, they go on and begin to run the table. And sure enough, they knock off the L.A. Dodgers and thus... they are now the World Series champions. The Brewers getting back at it and hopefully making a run again next year. I'll tell you what, the Brewers, they got a lot of good talent. They got a lot of opportunity here. The window is pretty. I don't want to say it's bright and wide open because there's always a time limit, but nevertheless, there is still a good opportunity for the Milwaukee Brewers to make some hay. So let's talk more about it. Seth Everett, our National Baseball Insider, joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Seth, how you doing, buddy?
What's going on, my friend? How have you been?
Well, we're doing well. You know, a few people kind of licking the wounds, I guess, might be the best way to put it, as this team didn't get to the ultimate goal, but certainly played well enough and gave a lot of people a lot of optimism. So, there's going to be some changes. There always is in Major League Baseball, and I don't know what
to do. I had an idea. We should have played the first one we did in spring training.
What's that? The first podcast?
No, the first segment you and I did.
Oh, okay.
When we talked about expectations and how all we were looking for was just progress. And to say that at the end of the year the team was better than the team that started, I would say that times of 15.
Right.
They accomplished the goal. When, you know, you could say every year the goal is to win a World Series. Yes, all 30 teams say that. Every team in sports says that. That's a cliche. This was a realistic growth. There is new respect for David Stearns that didn't exist in baseball and in the state of Wisconsin this year. There is a new reputation for Craig Counsell, whereas he was one of the nondescript managers of this plethora of young managers that are coming in to the sport.
Mm-hmm.
This has been well documented. The Brewers made a big-time acquisition. They made a big-time free agent signing. They spent money. They have money to spend because they're not up against the luxury tax, which
Right. You
could say all you want about the phraseology. The word luxury tax really is salary cap. No one's going over it anymore. So the fact of the matter is I just think this franchise, yes, losing Game 7 stunk. I get it. I'm not saying I wanted the Dodgers by any stretch. The Dodgers have punks on their team. But the reality of it is that there is a sense of pride for Milwaukee. It is one of the thriving baseball markets out of 30 that is actually thriving.
Mm-hmm.
Many of them are not.
So moving forward, I mean, first of all, capping the season, I mean, the Boston Red Sox, you know, just – offensively speaking, that team just—they got it done. I don't know what else to say. I mean, that was.
There's one thing I do want to say about the Red Sox, though. I don't like the comparisons to history. If you don't know that the 2018 baseball landscape has been a dramatic transformation for the sake of this sport, and again, I would love to come on in the winter and talk about this. And you know, I'm putting together an article about the top 10 things that are making me say the sport's in a crisis. But the fact of the matter is that to take a team that barely puts the ball in play and compare them to the 2004 Red Sox or the 98 Yankees or, you know, any of these great teams,
right,
I think is an insult to these Red Sox. They're not that good. And, yes, they were the best team in 2018, and I will give them all their accolades. But to for John Henry's first reaction is this is the best Red Sox team of all time is not incorrect. It's short-sighted.
I think it's a little, much like you said, it might be a little bit disrespectful, too.
I mean, look, he said it right away. And, you know, I have a pet peeve about that. You know, my greatest example, is, you remember the Eli Manning, David Tyree catch?
Yes.
Right? Arguably could be the greatest catch in Super Bowl history, right? Mm-hmm. Like, there's a strong argument for that. The very next year, Santonio Holmes catches a ball and he tiptoes in the end zone. You remember he barely got his toe in the end zone?
Right.
And Greg Gumbel's immediate word was, you just saw the greatest catch in Super Bowl history. And I'm like, no. That was just last year. We're not even talking about, I'm not one of those historian types that says it was better in my day. That's not my point. But to ignore history when you're in the heat of the moment, I think is short-sighted. If you want to use the word disrespectful, I don't think it was that. I just think it's very short-sighted. And to not acknowledge that the 2004 team with Johnny Damon and David Ortiz and Kevin Millar, that's a better baseball team, hands down, than the 2018 Red Sox.
I
don't care how many wins they have.
Right. I put it this way. I mean, let me ask you this. Was it entertaining, or was this just get it over World with type Series? Of baseball? Yeah.
To me, it was very slow. The first four innings of game one dictated the pace of the whole thing, because it was just both teams had multiple runners on in every inning, and it was just took forever. Game two, the statement I took away from the first two games at Fenway was, who's the most popular person in the building that night? It was David Ortiz.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, make a case for Mookie Betts or Jackie Bradley or any of these current Red Sox. And again, I'm not saying anything about them that's negative. But in this whole postseason, did we learn anything about the sport? Did we learn anything about the players other than Manny Machado's a jerk?
Right, which
right?
We all
like,
know.
What did we learn? Can anybody still, nationally, again, I'm not trying to say in Wisconsin, does anybody know who Christian Yelich is?
I think the world woke up a little bit, but I think because he didn't have that spectacular series that we all had hoped for, I think the rest of the world went, okay.
Right. And David Price, and you know, the thing I'll take away from David Price is David Price was finally the guy that we all expect him to be. And that the actual analysis is on David Price is that it was strange when he wasn't performing to that level. He's the smartest guy in the ballpark. You know what I mean? He's one of the smartest pitchers you will ever come across. And when he struggled, it made no sense. And I'll make a Prince Fielder analogy. Tell me if you disagree with this. Do you remember when Prince Fielder put on that Tiger uniform and your feeling was, ugh, this looks weird?
Right.
This doesn't feel right. Like, none
yes.
of, it's A-Rod as a Ranger, Texas Ranger, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's the same thing. I thought that of David Price. Like, David Price as a Red Sox never fit with me. And I think for the first time, he feels comfortable in those clothes.
No, I agree with you, because we thought when Prince Fielder did it that it just didn't seem right.
And it wasn't because he wasn't wearing a Brewer uniform. Like, he could have gone. Like, I didn't hate him in a Texas Ranger uniform, but I hated, you know, knowing the feelings that he had about his dad and knowing the estranged relationship that they had, for him to put on a Tiger uniform felt wrong. Felt
right.
Like a Halloween costume.
Right.
And I never was comfortable. And when David Price went to the Red Sox, I had a list of five teams that I wanted him to go to. And I'm a huge David Price fan. Man, what a difference. For him to finally get that monkey off his back. And Craig Counsell made a great point about guys stepping up in the postseason after game one of the NLCS. Craig Counsell, and I'll show you how it applies to Price. When you try things that are off the beaten path, and if you try to accomplish something that you've never accomplished before, the best place to do it is in a no-pressure game.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, Counsell was referring to using the bullpen, you know, to start a game. Well, it's never an elimination game because it's what Oakland did wrong, right? Oakland in the wild card game threw six relievers. You can't ask six relievers to all raise their game to that level. There's
right.
The psychology of the whole thing. And take that Craig Counsell line of thinking and apply it to up 3-1, David Price against the Astros. And how if he lost that game and falls to 0-12 in the postseason, the worst case scenario is they go back to Fenway Park up 3-2.
Right.
What a great situation for him to be in.
Sure.
That's where I thought Alex Cora did a better job. It wasn't that he didn't have Chris Sale. It was that he put David Price in a better position. If Sale or anybody else pitches Game 5 against the Astros, then Price has to pitch Game 6. I don't like that scenario because I think then you put the pressure on him. And they put a no-pressure situation. He got the monkey off his back, and now I think he'll be a great postseason pitcher for years to come.
So getting back to what Milwaukee has to offer, and I was talking about this earlier, because people tend to think, well, you know, they're going to be around, they've got a great window, and they do, don't get me wrong. But baseball is different. It's not like you draft a guy and you've got these ballers in football or basketball for 4 and 5 years, and they're going to be at their peak by the time they're done. Baseball's a fickle sport. It's year to year at best. And while you can have talent, all the talent in the world, there's nothing to count on for next year other than the fact that you believe that some of the good talent you have is coming back.
Yeah, I mean, the way I looked at it, if you want to just, you know, simplify the whole thing, they had, what, $105 million payroll this year?
Yeah.
They have a team that went to Game 7 of the NLCS. They went to an unconventional pitching stance because they had a shortage of starting pitchers, right?
Mm-hmm.
They need two starting pitchers. like they need two starting. You can't have next season where Josh Hader throws 110 games. Like, you can't do that.
Right.
And the reality of it, of Jeffress, unless there is an injury, and I say this unless because I'm not accusing anybody, unless there's an injury that we don't know about, and I would be very disappointed if I found out there was, that dude hit a wall. And you cannot say it's not from an overuse. You know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
You can't be a genius all season long, and then all of a sudden it fails in the playoffs, and it's not the manager's fault. And the manager tried to put him in perfect situations to succeed, and he couldn't. And really what he did was he gave up a home run to a good hitter, a guy I can't stand in Puig, but a good hitter. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Those kinds of things can't happen. And the reality of it is you know, the story of the postseason with Wade Miley pitching two games in a row, that doesn't happen if you acquire Cole Hamels. And I'm not a hypocrite on Cole Hamels. I didn't want Cole Hamels.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? I didn't think he would. But look at the month, you know, the month and a half that he had for the Cubs. That would have helped. And if you had some other veteran pitcher to go where Chacin was not your most reliable starter, now Craig Counsell doesn't try bullpenning. Like, the difference between bullpenning and what the Brewers did was the Brewers did it out of necessity because their starting pitchers weren't there. And what the Tampa Bay Rays are doing is they're trying to cultivate a pitching staff out of just relievers. You see the difference? Like,
right.
One person's trying to do that. The other guy, you know, that's like Alex Cora getting all the credit in the world for using Nathan Eovaldi in the 7th and 8th inning. It's because he had nobody else. Steven Wright was hurt. Like,
right.
What were they supposed to do?
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting because we had talked about this, about whether or not they're actually going to go get starting pitching or they're going to take some of those guys out of the pen and they're going to make them into starters. And if they do, then they're going to have to go get bullpen help. And so there's a lot of kind of moving parts to all of this before the you know, next year culminates down in spring training.
No, but Mark Antanasio has said all the right things. And he said that what he wants is smart baseball decisions to be made. You know, you're not throwing money at random guys. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You're not. I throw caution to anybody who wants to overpay for Clayton Kershaw. The guy's been hurt the last 2 years. Brody Van Wagenen, which is one of the weirdest situations in baseball, Brody Van Wagenen, the CAA agent, who's now the general manager of the Mets, made a great point in saying that the trend in baseball now is paying guys for future performance, not paying guys for past performance. And it's a change in the philosophy. So it's why Jake Arrieta didn't get signed until 10 days before the season. And if that is indeed the change in the philosophy, and this is how teams are going to be, if I'm Clayton Kershaw, I stay with the Dodgers.
Yeah, I was going to say, does Clayton Kershaw then just remain?
If I'm him, you know, if this was 5 years ago, I think it's a guarantee he opts out. Even if he stays with the Dodgers, I would say he does, like, for example, what CeCe Sabathia did. You know, CeCe Sabathia opted out, but then re-signed in like 5 minutes.
Sure.
That's what Clayton Kershaw would have done. But I think in the changing landscape, it's a different world out there. Because now what you're doing, if the sabermetric mentality is you sign for future performance, not on past performance, you're going to have another camp of big-name guys that don't get signed.
Do you think that we're looking at this offseason again and talking about guys complaining that the salaries just aren't there, and we're talking about, you know, the Players Association getting involved in all of this again?
Well, this is what I can say about the theme of the World Series, because, you know, I had the option to go to the Boston, and I had a family commitment, so I couldn't go. And so I was texting a lot of media people, you know, what's the scuttlebutt? What's the theme? Because I was still doing my commitments, and I just felt bad that I wasn't at these games. And when the conversation was happening, Manfred was asking all kinds of reporters, what do you know about the attorneys that the union hired? What do you know
right.
about the, you know, like, what, what's the story with those new attorneys? Because don't forget, Tony Clark is very different. He's the head of the Players Association. He's very different than Don Fear in the sense of, number one, he doesn't have a legal background. So everything he has to get across, he has to do so through attorneys that he hires. Why during the year where they had that camp and all those unsigned free agents, do they hire a new crew of attorneys?
Sure.
They're gearing up for a fight.
Right.
And the thing that baseball, see, the reason why I'm typically a very union guy, but the problem is, and this is, again, this is part of the list of why I'm fearful that this sport is in a crisis, is that I don't think the league is wrong. What the union's fight is they want guys to have, you know, defined roles, and that starting pitchers get a certain salary. And you're seeing a decline in those kinds of salaries. J.D. Martinez, Jake Arrieta, like, you saw those kinds of deals. And then there's the manager salaries that are getting decreased. That's
right.
The Bob Nightingale article. And if you notice, we're not talking about any of the crap that we talk about the on-field stuff. This is all off the field and behind the scenes. And what I fear is that the union's going to ask baseball to go back in time. And I think baseball's past that.
It's going to be an interesting culmination. Seth, we're way past time, but I appreciate it, man. And we'll talk again real soon, okay, pal?
You got it.
All right, buddy. Talk to you later. There you go, Seth Everett. We could talk to you forever about all of this stuff, but nevertheless. Yeah, he joined us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. You work hard. They treat you fair. 80-plus years. They've been getting it done. Call them 844-PRIDE. Go to schneiderjobs.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.